Our lesson today will be on the name Emmanuel. And so if you will, to begin with, turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 7. It's on page 940 in your companion Bible. Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7, page 940. In your companion Bible, we'll look at the prophecy here by the prophet Isaiah, beginning in that seventh chapter with just one verse, the 14th verse, 600 years before the birth of Christ. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, if you will, turn over to Matthew chapter 1. In Matthew chapter 1, as we have just celebrated the birth of our Savior Christ Jesus, the baby born in the manger. There in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. As we have celebrated this holy day, the birth of Christ Jesus, his begatting, it's important to understand the significance and the magnitude of this event to begin with, which is described by the prophet Isaiah, with a baby that's given the name Emmanuel, or God with us. What is the underlying meaning of such a thing? God with us. Why would God conceive of such a far-out plan to be with us? Why would the most powerful human being ever to exist become an infant, a cell placed in the womb of a woman, to be born and placed in a manger? Why would the most powerful person ever to exist ever come in such a way? You would think that he would come in a stealth fighter or some way in which man can't comprehend. But instead, he bursts on the scene as a baby called Emmanuel, God with us. What can be discovered then in this child? What is the questions that arise as a result of this? For example, was he at this tender age, this baby there in the manger, living up to the name Emmanuel, God with us? Or must we wait until he comes to the cross as the bearer, or even the second coming? Do we have to wait before he bears our sin and is actually then the name significant, God with us? Or is this baby in the manger also significant of this name, Emmanuel? Well, I think not. I think that it's a significant name from the very start, primarily because there's comfort in the word with. A good example of this is often in our prayers for those who are experiencing trouble. We pray, be with them, Lord, knowing that personal fellowship with God gives grace to endure very difficult situations. You see it in our families when someone dies, as this past couple of weeks. People in my family came all the way from Amsterdam to be with my sister in times of trouble. And therefore, the events of this baby Jesus' life from the manger forward puts him in circumstances that allow us to see that he is not only with us, but that he understands the conditions here on earth as a result of the evil that exists. Because there are some skeptics who ask these questions in their suffering. They ask hard questions. Does God know that we're hurting down here, that we have needs, that it's tough? Does he care? God, are you there? Where are you? I can't see you. Is he heartless or powerless to do anything with regard to the troubles that we experience here on earth? Maybe he's incompetent, can't do anything? These are the questions the skeptics ask. And for all practical purposes, then, is not a God that is always not there, pretty much non-existent? Well, the answer to these questions lies in the name Emmanuel, because the scripture teaches us that he, like us, learned from the things that he suffered. We see that in the book of Hebrews in the 5th chapter. He said there, by the things he suffered, learned he obedience. And that's pretty much where we are in our lives on this earth. He, as the Son of God, had no easy life, as often we don't. He had trouble from the very start. Born in an opportune time and circumstance, Mary and Joseph traveling away from home to pay their taxes there. Of course, you all know there was no room for them. They could not find a place to spend the night, and so they end up where? Well, they end up at the Tower of Adar, the Tower of the Flock, the manger where the sheep were raised, the lambs were raised for sacrifice in the temple. As God and King of Israel, he found no place except a manger in which to be born. The parents of this baby Jesus were dirt poor. They were from a place that was little known in the world and described there in Micah, the 5th chapter, described as the least of the princes of Judah. And of course, then at the age of 2 and 3 years of age, he was forced from the family home, put on the road because of this terrorist named Herod, who was slaughtering 2,000 children, 2 years and under. Can you imagine living in those conditions with your child? Wondering, are they going to find my child and slaughter him as well? He massacred 2,000 trying to kill this baby Jesus. It was not a real good circumstance in which he burst into the world. And finally, the angel came and said, "Run, Jesus, run!" And he went where? To Egypt, forced into Egyptian exile. We find that in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13, where the angel says, "Run, Jesus, run. Arise, Mary, take him, hurry, go." Forced into exile. Probably was the only way that he could get there was with the gold that the wise men brought him. And don't forget, Egypt was no panacea. In Scripture, it stands for the world independent of God. That's where he was. 8 times it is referred to as the house of bondage, Egypt is. Not only that, but it is set forth as a false security to those that believe, and events have proven this over and over again in Scripture. Spiritually, it is spoken of in Revelation as Sodom. It was not a wonderful place. And then there in the 2nd chapter of Matthew, chapter 21, the angel comes back to them, and instead of saying, "Run," he says, "Bring them back." And you can read that where the angel says, come back out of Egypt. And you say, well, why is that? Well, it's because it was prophesied in the Old Testament that the Egypt, that the infant Jesus would be there in Egypt. Not only for security was he down there. Not only did he go down there for the security, but he was down there so that he could fulfill prophecy to be called out of Egypt. And you read that in the 20th verse of Matthew chapter 2. He fulfilled the prophecy as he was called out of Egypt. This, of course, all this was foreshadowed by Israel. They sojourned there for 400 years in bondage before God called them out of bondage and out of Egypt. Today, we, every son, we all find ourselves in Egypt at times. Why was this all necessary? Why today is it necessary? Well, the answer lies in the name Emmanuel, God with us. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh into a world of sin and shame, and in the course of his sinless pilgrimage from cradle to the cross, he traversed all the roads that the weary feet of humanity and his people have faced and will face and face today. He was tempted as we are tempted. He was hated as you sometimes are, as a Christian, are hated. He was despised as you are sometimes despised. He was misunderstood as you are often misunderstood as a Christian. He was forsaken. It says he was afflicted. Afflicted with what? That's a good question. That's a whole study in itself. What was he afflicted with? Well, for one thing, we know he was afflicted because he became sin, not his, but he became ours. So that affliction of our sin caused, of course, the thing that he died for. Believe me, he knows because he has been here with us in many ways, exiled and so forth. Also with us in temptation. I don't know if you ever noticed this or not, but look there in the fourth chapter of Matthew. Matthew chapter 4. He was called out of Egypt to temptation. First verse, then was Jesus led up of spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So he is in fellowship with his people, having been tempted as we are tempted. At the beginning of his ministry, he was tempted by Satan 40 days in the wilderness. Three times he was tempted by Satan. He said, Satan said, turn these stones into bread. Throw yourself down, and surely an angel, someone will come and pick you up. Well, fall down and worship me. He was tempted by Satan. Three times he met the temptation with the words, it is written. And that's a lesson for us. The essential feature that energizes us is that he could have melted Satan with a look. But what did he do? He quoted the word. He used no other weapon than the word. And we, the humblest of his followers, can also, because he, his word, is with us. Adam, of course, was tempted in the Garden of Plenty, and he failed miserably. Israel was sorely tempted in the wilderness for 40 years, and even though they were supplemented with manna, they still failed miserably. Christ, though, had nothing for 40 days in the wilderness and triumphed over all. He is with us in our Egyptian bondage and our wilderness temptations. And the scripture teaches that he was numbered with the transgressors. So he was perfect, but he was and is with us. We see it there in Isaiah chapter 53. Let's take a look at that verse, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 12. It's page 999. Isaiah chapter 53. Therefore will I divide him, verse 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. In that he was with us in this, as this baby Jesus. Fulfilled then, we find this in the book of Mark. Look at Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. Beginning with verse 27 of the 15th chapter of Mark. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. The believer's hope is summed up in the words, with him, or Emmanuel. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separated from sinners, yet was reckoned or counted among them. He who knew no sin was made sin for us and crucified with transgressors. He died the just for the unjust. He was born in Bethlehem and given the name Emmanuel, but now faced the cross and was numbered with us transgressors. And the question then arises, how was it that the Son of God could sit in judgment in front of an earthly governor, a sinful person? And the answer is, he was numbered with the transgressors and stood in their place. How could the Son of God permit Roman soldiers to handle him, to mock him, to spit upon him, to crucify him? And the answer is the same. He was numbered among the transgressors. He was with us. He was treated exactly like any criminal, but innocent. And the false inscription and accusations were put over his head. There were thieves crucified with him that we see here in these verses in the 15th chapter of Mark. He is with us by wondrous love and amazing grace. And I hope you see that we are, in our study, in our understanding, we must link the cradle, the cross, and the crown to comprehend Emmanuel, God with us. How can it be? Well, it's by reckoning. That's the link that makes us with him in as one. And before we go any further, there's a thing here that you must understand. You have to pay attention to two Greek prepositions that are used. The first is the Greek word meta, M-E-T-A. And up to this point, in every case where it talks about Emmanuel, God with us, the word meta is used. Meta is not actually oneness. It means to go with, or truly with. But sometimes, and more often than not, it's translated among. Metta is among. Association, not unity, is the concept of metta when he is with us. He was among us as a transgressor. But at the advent, God was manifest in the flesh, perfect, but that did not make mankind one with God. So here in the 15th chapter of Mark, we arrive at the last use of meta so far as the person and work of Christ until after the resurrection. And from here on, a new preposition is introduced in the scripture. And it's not meta, it's son. The difference being son is together as one, not among, but together as one. Meta indicates proximity. Son indicates conjunction. So here in look at verse 27 of that 15th chapter. And with him they crucified two thieves. That with in the Hebrew, or excuse me, in the Greek, is son. On his right hand, on the other hand, on his left, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with meta, the transgressors. At this point, the prepositions change. But prior to the crucifixion, we were always considered meta. After the crucifixion, we are son. At the birth of Christ, when he became Emmanuel, he became God with us, meta. He could not be one of us because he was sinless, perfect. He was with us, among us, experienced being fashioned as a man, but separated by our sin. Nevertheless, he was oppressed, afflicted, persecuted, a man of sorrow and grief, despised. But at the cross, our sin is removed, and now the preposition of union and oneness is employed, son. Never meta is used again in the scripture with regard to us. And the perfect example is found in Romans. If you'll turn then over out of the Gospels, over to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. And then again in verse 11, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. These two simple little prepositions show the difference between Emmanuel, God with us, and Emmanuel, we with God. At the present, our union with Christ is by reckoning only, because we are still in ourselves mortal and sinful. This is true of him. He was only meta with us, but at the cross, then we became son with him. And it's in resurrection that we, by reckoning, will in reality benefit the results of this Emmanuel, God with us. He became God with us in order that it might be possible for us to be made one with God. One with God. Not God with us, but one with him. More or less, hand in hand, arm in arm, he stood for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your written word. We're thankful, especially this time of year, for the advent of your son, Christ Jesus, the baby Jesus, his advent into the world and the salvation that comes to us through him. We're thankful that he was with us, and we're thankful now that we can be with him. Pray that we will continue to grow in the grace, and the mercy, and the knowledge of you. For it's in Christ Jesus I pray. Amen.